What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Marino says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Marino is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Marino will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Marino thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, you guys always want drama in the DFS streets and the sports betting streets. Well, they served it up on a silver platter for us. Today, we got some of the sad news with RotoGrinders layoffs as part of a bigger, better collective purge. We'll discuss that and some of the implications for the DFS industry. We've missed the sweet spot for discussing the Taylor Mathis crypto saga, sports betting influencer previously with DraftKings. We'll discuss that story and what happened there. We also have another little dust up within the sports betting world within our guy Captain Jack and Spanky. So all kinds of good stuff to chew on. This is Lulz with Pete and Brick. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in 1 for yes, 2 for no, and let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right, Brick, how are we doing here on this Thursday? Jam-packed show we got to get to today.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it. How you doing, Pete?
Doing good. Yeah. Happy Halloween, Brian. I guess neither of us remembered to dress up. Will you be dressing up and going trick or treating later tonight?
I will. Yes. Yeah.
What are you going to dress up as?
A ghoul of some sort.
Everyone should dress up as Davis Matic. I should have sent out links to my Davis Matic costume for the Best Ball Bros videos so that everyone could have been Davis. For
this we don't want to scare the kids that much.
Trick or treat? they're like, are you asking or do you actually want a treat, sir? All right, let's start right at the top with these RotoGrinders layoffs. This obviously hit close to home because I got tipped off from Kitchen. It must have been, I don't know if it was Sunday night or Monday, but he was like, hey, no Swolecast this week. There's an all hands meeting going on at Better Collective, and the rumblings are it is not good as far as people losing their jobs, layoffs, heads gonna roll. That is exactly what happened. I don't know the total count at RotoGrinders specifically. I know some of the forward-facing guys, obviously Dave Kitchen, Squirrel Patrol, like the HR team is gone. A lot of people behind the scenes lost their jobs, even outside of, you know, the content people. And then I think I saw over 100 plus jobs for just the overall purge with the Action Network, Playmaker HQ, which are both companies under that Better Collective umbrella. So, Brian, initial reactions when you saw that story?
Yeah, that was a surprise. I didn't know what was going on, so I just saw someone left RG. I was like, oh, that happens. And then it's like, wait, there's okay, that's two people. That's three people. Okay, what the hell is going on over there? So it's, yeah. And it also, obviously, it sucks for all those bros. But then I was, you know, I looked into it a little bit more. Sounds like their stock got hit pretty hard. Yeah. And they kept, and it sounds like they kept, like, guys who kept the products rolling.
Yeah.
And got rid of a lot of the public facing guys.
What they pointed to. So I guess the sequence of events was the parent company had made this big bet on like the Brazilian sports betting network and had made some like pretty big SEO plays there. And it basically flopped. And then they issued their, I guess they're calling it financial guidance, basically a forecast for their revenue. And they like slashed their revenue by 10%. And when the revenue was expected to be like 415 million, that's a lot of revenue to not be forecasting. And so when they publicly announced that, then all the stockholders panic,
yeah,
off the stock. And so it had dropped 50% like multiple times. And then in response to that, they're like, all right, now we have to, you know, make cutdowns in other places. And then that resulted in them, you know, essentially just gutting some of these companies while keeping just the bare bones, the tools, basically the people who have to press the buttons to keep the stuff working. And then everything else has been removed.
It's the way it goes at giant company, right? Like somebody makes a bet, doesn't pan out. Well, you got to pay. Sorry.
Yeah.
So like they're a conglomerate basically, right? Like they've bought up a bunch of different companies. Who's the one handling the, do you know this? Who was the one handling the Brazil bet, like the Brazil option?
I think that was even like way above like the Roto Grinders.
I mean, like a different company, even though we wouldn't know.
I think my guess is it was through the Action Network was where they were making that play. And a lot of similar stuff that now just happened to Roto Grinders has already played out with Action Network. Like Action Network is like a glorified SEO content farm. All due respect to the people who are still at those companies. I know there's some people in the space who still do content for these sites, but they have been gutted from what they previously were.
It's not a great trend because they're not the only ones either. Because if you think about it, DraftKings pulled out of England. Haven't really doing much with Europe, so they tried to do that soccer play. Remember back when we were trying to get the tout wars going, and then, they did one thing. I can't remember what it was, the World Series of DFS or something. I can't remember what it was called. They invited like none of us. They invited like Jamie, and some Euro dudes from Germany and England that no one that knows to try to like. I'm assuming it was they wanted this, you know, international play, and
yeah,
didn't work. Canada has some of their jurisdictions don't allow it. It's rollbacks. You know, I was freaking Stochastic let go of some people not too long ago.
Yeah. And that's the, you know, I think it's an interesting thing for these sites, right? Where like I would view, like, do you agree with this? Like most of these big DFS sites, and obviously like there's, you know, some skew in one direction more than the other, like content versus tools. Like obviously ETR skews way more towards content than they do tools. Maybe you could say Stochastic skews more towards tools, however you want to apply that. But like, those are the two tent poles that I think of a successful DFS company is like content and tools. And when you make this decision, like they are at Roto Grinders, it seems like it's a very clear, and I'm not saying Roto Grinders made the decision, but these layoffs, it's like, all right, we're just going to survive on our tools. And we are going to sacrifice content as a way to promote those tools.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense, right? Yeah. I mean, it's. I was thinking about this too, like in relation to, you know, you and Davis, kind of just for people like you. We briefly touched on this maybe years ago when you were considering like quitting your job back in the day, and it's like you got to be careful, like, as a content guy, because they can, you know, use you pretty, because once, you know, once you've done the work, you know, if you put in a year of promo for some company, like, they can kind of get rid of you after that point, and they receive a lot of the benefit you did, and you receive no, you know, no more. Do you remember the, like, we used to talk about that? Yeah.
Yeah. And like, think about, you know, to use our pal, like Neil Orfield as an example, or Davis. Davis is a great example, right? Like, you were at, sure, you have like a really great job working for a single DFS company, but you were still at the mercy of that employer. Versus both of those guys now have a ton of freelance gigs. They're doing all kinds of stuff. They're resilient. So say, like, again, I don't even know all the, it's not my stuff to discuss what's going to happen with some of Davis's stuff at RotoGrinders outside of the Swolecast, which I'll mention in a second. But like, even if Davis loses that, he has other stuff. He has Unabated. He has In-Game Syndicate. He has his Underdog deal. Like, he has other things that is not going to have the floor falling out from underneath him. When you only work for one company, like, that's, that puts you at a lot of risk.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of like, and it's important to like recognize that, that like, that's your skill too, because, you know, the product guys, that's their skill. Like, they can't let them go because then the product won't work. You know what I mean? So like, you, but you're not, you know, you might not, if you're not the product guy, you know, then what, you know, what do you offer? And if some of these companies, they can just go, eh, we can just replace him with someone who'll come once, you know, for $50 a show every, you know, every other day. Like, there's a line of dudes who would love to do what you and Davis do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, they can find somebody for $50, but it's tough to find someone who can code when the whole site breaks, you know, 30 minutes before lock.
Yeah. And I do want to just say, Sacrilegious says, seems like a fundamental misunderstanding by RotoGrinders of where they are in the space. Definitely not an industry leader in tools. I want to be clear. Like, this is not the RotoGrinders decision. This is people very high up the food chain that started looking at salaries on a sheet and literally just going with a red pen. Boom. You go. There was no like RotoGrinders. Like, this is just, they have to put on a brave face and they have to say, well, this is the direction of our company now, because this is the hand we've been dealt. But trust me, like, and again, I not speaking out of school, but like, Dan Bach had the worst fucking day of his professional life earlier this week. Like, Dan Bach does not want any of this to happen to RotoGrinders, does not want this to be the direction of the company. So that's what's so shitty about this. Is the RotoGrinders people, the people who work there, who care about DFS, this is not their decision.
Right. Well, that's what happens when you get bought.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You lose control. But you don't have money.
I mean, both the Action Network deal and the, you know, the Better Collective one, both of those were massive acquisition deals. The other thing people have been wondering about the Swolecast, there was lots of stuff in the Discord about it. Obviously, we didn't have a show this week with all of that news breaking. The Swolecast is going to continue to live on. It's going nowhere. Kitchen owns the domain. Dan Bach and RotoGrinders are giving us the RSS feed. Like, we have full ownership over the show. Basically, we just have to figure out the logistics. How do we monetize it? How do we make it viable for us to devote time and energy to it? Those conversations are happening behind closed doors. I hope to be back up and running with the crew next week, but don't worry. Swolecast is going nowhere. Just won't be presented by RotoGrinders anymore.
Perfect. Yeah. I was talking to Davis today. We did one of the Patreon Takecast things earlier. And it's like, even if they didn't give it to you guys would be back up and running in like 2 months with like, you know, the same amount of subs.
Yeah.
Like, actually, it'd probably be better. Like, you could make a little controversy out of it. Like, help us out. We don't, they took our feed.
Yeah. I mean, to me, like, obviously my heart, and like, also like, just show a little humanity, sell out, this happens, deal with it. Like, we're talking about real humans. We're not talking about equity companies who get to make these big bets and then have to deal with it. We're talking about our friends who lost their job in the middle of the season and have to scramble to figure out health insurance and their next step. So just show a little fucking humanity. Otherwise I don't need you in my YouTube chat.
I think that was troll or fake, like sellout would be the selling the company, not the guys who got fired.
Right. But yeah, like, to blame this on like, you know, what those guys have been doing over there. Also, speaking of acts of kindness, DFS King here with the gifted membership. So DFS King won a Dog Bowl seat, Brian.
Nice.
This past week on
Underdog. 10K
plus the you know, the seat to the final. I think there's $1 million in total prizes, $200,000 first prize when they compete in Dallas, and did it with just two bullets, lots of high volume grinders in there. And the real cherry on top, he was watching my Deposit Kingdom video while drafting one of his two teams, got to the Ladd McConkey gem portion, select Ladd McConkey. Ladd is the highest scoring wide receiver on the slate, punches him a ticket. So fun little story there.
We had Ladd McConkey controversy last week too, where the Dan's tool suggested Ladd McConkey, and then a lot of people in chat were very dismissive of the Ladd McConkey suggestion. I remember Davis being dismissive, but he says he wasn't. So I will tell you,
I fucking love Davis. His mush powers these days are incredible. I forget, it was 2 weeks ago when the Baker stuff hit, and someone was in my comments being like, Davis is off the Baker doubles, when I had touted the Baker stuff. And I'm like, that's a bull signal, fella. I mean, this guy, every Thursday night, he is reverse bushing one of these players to a career game. So I don't want to tell you to oppo trade Davis right now, but it's not the worst idea.
with Davis... And the content guys, though, I was kind of trying to get at this. I wasn't insulting them earlier with, like, the product guys. Yeah, they can code and stuff. But content guys have a ton of value. So, like when Stochastic let go of some people, like, they're doing pretty damn well now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
they had a good following. So, like, I don't know. Hopefully everything works out. Do you know if a lot of those guys are still going to keep rocking in this industry?
So I know Kitchen wants to be, and, you know, I think Kitchen's going to be completely fine. He has lots of good connections in this industry with lots of different companies and stuff. I think it's just hard because it's like, what company is, like, looking to hire, you know, like NFL related stuff, you know, week 9 of the season. So, like, that having to just take the time to find stuff. But yeah. And I haven't heard from Squirrel Patrol. I don't know what kind of his plan is, but yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think there sometimes is that, like, blessing in disguise where there's an element of Stockholm syndrome to a gig you have. Like, it's good, or it's just okay enough that you're like, yeah, I'll just keep this rolling. And you don't realize, like, maybe some of the other opportunities that are out there. And I bet if you ask Davis, if you ask Neil right now, they'd be pretty stoked on where they're at, even having a cool job before that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and not everyone can be, you know, the thought leader. Not everyone can be a thought leader. I think there's, you know, there's probably a cap on how many thought leaders we have. Well, maybe not. There's quite a bit of them out there. But, like, not every site is as mature as RotoGrinders too. So, like, they're a mature site. How many subs, you know, like let's say they hired Davis, like, you know, I mean, I know they kind of have, but, like, they hired him full time, like, he'll get him some subs and stuff like that, but they already have tons of people who know who they are. But the newer sites and smaller sites and stuff, they really could benefit from, you know, these guys promoting them or using their tools or blah, blah, blah. So it's all, you know, relative to the, like, how mature the company is, I think, and how useful these bros are.
Yeah, I think that's a good point too, right? And I think we've talked about it before that there's kind of two types of like influencer status, right? There's bringing people in the door. You get them to sign up for your tool. You get them to get on Underdog for a first-time deposit. But there's also retention. There's also the people who are already going to keep their RotoGrinder subs that are just going to show up to watch Davis, to watch Blender, to watch these people week in and week out. And that obviously has value too. And I think it's easier for companies to say, oh, you're not bringing in any more first-time subs. You're not doing this. But what about the ecosystem, the community, just the, like, making the site feel relevant with continued content and building out that kind of relationship with a content creator and an audience? Like, that's what really goes to die during these decisions.
That's definitely true. What do you think that is going to cost them? I don't know if he wants me to mention it, but someone was DM me who used to work there about all this. And, he thinks they're going to lose like 10-20% like of their DFS subs or something because of these. Do you think that's fair?
Yeah. I mean, is it that different than, I know they're completely different circumstances, but compared to the fantasy cruncher situation, right? Where it's like, if someone uses this site, this tool, and they can't imagine, you know, trying to learn a new one or whatever, they just love Lineup HQ, let's say, like, is this going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back for them? Maybe not, but like, there are going to be people who start to second guess, right? Like, one of the things about DFS subscriptions, we've talked about this, there's a tribalistic element. I'm on the Roto Grinders team. I'm on the ETR team. I'm on the Run Pure team. If you're losing your content creators, if you don't feel like you have positive momentum as a company, who's wanting to badge up with RG and hop in the DK lobbies and win a tournament?
Yeah. We need to start doing like forums in Vegas on how to run your DFS company. Community and what's the other C? Credibility, I think.
Yeah.
Credibility and community. Can you highlight David's message here, Kitchen? So I want to say publicly, say, Kitchen, I will give you free Madden lessons, okay? Okay, all you want, all you need. Don't even worry about it. They're free on the house.
I have a better idea, Brad.
Okay.
So you guys have been doing the sim shows with Davis, and Davis is like the everyman, and you and Nerdy, the sim bros, and you guys have a good dynamic. But now there's another guy who is the everyman of all everymans, and that's David Kitchen. And I think you guys hold an American Idol-esque tryout between Davis and Kitchen, and you say, Davis, your job is no longer safe because David Kitchen's coming in hot. He needs work, and he could be a great foil for the Sim Bros on these weekly streams. You guys have a little audition.
Welcome. But yeah, we need to light a fire under. He's been getting complacent on those streams.
Based on the number of Discord messages I see from him while on stream, I would definitely say he's getting complacent.
I was going to say, like, if we can get like his setting 18 lineups at the same time while doing the stream, if we can get that down, that number down of the amount of things he's doing while streaming. And it's so easy for me to tell now too. It's like, oh, he didn't listen to a word I just said. He does not care.
I was dying when you guys had some awesome stuff last week, or we had started talking about it on Lulz with the combinatorial ownership in BR and really kind of highlighting the combos that don't make sense, non-quarterback wide receiver teammates, and then just being like, it's a natural thing to avoid them. And then I listened to you guys carry on that conversation. Dave was like, I'm not fucking worried about it. I was like, all right, good talk.
He does not care. He does not care. I can get different later. I was thinking he should, I was going to start a rumor that he's taking over Kitchen spot. RG, you're going to call him Soccer Davis. Totally sells out.
Davis goes scab. He's like, whatever you were paying Kitchen, I'll do it for 85%. Right.
Yeah.
And see, Kitchen says, I'm not desperate enough to start eating my own branches. Davis would backstab on you in a heartbeat if you get for it. Oh, man. But yeah, all jokes aside, I think it's sad. I'm writing about it for my newsletter tomorrow. There were a lot of, I know James McCool put out a video as well. There are so many people like me who got their start in DFS through Roto Grinders like that. And I kind of go through it all, like the origins to the randomizer started at Roto Grinders. The Swolecast started when Kitchen asked me to be a part of that. Even my comedic videos that turned into like the Best Ball Bros, I first started doing those for Roto Grinders. My morning review show started as a bankroll challenge recap that I did for Roto Grinders. Like, all of those opportunities, and I'm not alone in the amount of people in the industry that Roto Grinders first gave a platform to, first helped grow in this space and eventually go on. We see, you know, look at Run Pure, all comes from Roto Grinder guys. Jam to Win, 1 week season, was a Roto Grinders guy. Even Smiz and Al and Levitan all started doing shows at Roto Grinders. Like, we joke about Kitchen's tree, like Roto Grinders is that tree in the DFS space. And the fact that they are now winding things back is like a legit bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even selfishly, it's not a good sign for all of us, you know, and just the interest levels going down or something and the amount of people playing, all that type of stuff. It's a bummer selfishly and for everyone else. Everyone used Roto Grinders back in the day, but I'm sure a lot of the new guys don't understand too. Like everyone was using RG. I was posting, I was on their forums, like actually old school posting messages on their forums. They're probably still up.
I saw, who's that DFS guy? Is it How the Pros Do It? Is that his handle?
I saw him reply
to Kitchens. He goes, as one final F you on your way out the door, can you unblock me from the Roto Grinders? Forbes and Kitchens was like, we sunsetted those multiple years ago, but sure, buddy, I got you.
That's funny. That fucking How the Pros guy. Banned from everywhere.
And I do think it's easy for people to clown on stuff right now, but like, again, the number of things that Roto Grinders was the institution for, you just mentioned the forums, that was like the water cooler before, you know, Discords and Twitter became the official water cooler for DFS stuff. And how about their rankings? That used to be the gold standard for how people were judging who was the top DFS players, right? What were they those called? The Roto Grinders? Did they have a name for it?
The rankings?
Just
rankings. I think it's just the rankings page.
But that would be how people, like touts, would be like, this is how I confirm like my prolonged success. I famously was a top 30 League of Legends sports player for a hot minute. Like that was a thing that people looked to for a long time.
That's true. Yeah. They probably should have adjusted those and utilize, you know, maybe what, maybe not, because actually people use those rankings to start their own sites and compete against them. So maybe it wasn't a good idea to put more effort and resources into those rankings, but yeah, they definitely mattered for sure. Those were the days, man.
Yeah. Easy. A lot of people lost money chasing those rankings. And those are like, there's fun stuff now. I know with Underdog, there's a lot of people making tools to like track, you know, P&L, to track like your top finishes, your stuff like that. Like that secondary, you know, clout chasing element to DFS is honestly equally as important for people as the money a lot of times, especially for people who are playing this as a hobby. So yeah, I think we need to see more of that. And it's a bummer too that what ended up happening with those ranks? Did they get like borked in a way that they weren't really reflective of who was the best?
I don't remember what happened with them. They're definitely volume based. So you know, the people who play a lot, I still think if they do them that way, that matters a lot. Like if you can put up a lot of volume for multiple years, you're probably pretty good. It's not easy to you know, to even if it's just break even. But yeah, I think that was like the complaint. I honestly have not kept up with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing too. Like you mentioned the international competition or whatever, the tout war stuff or like these leaderboards, all of this stuff is going away because those are byproducts of a healthy ecosystem, right? When stuff is growing, it's a bull market DFS thing. When stuff are good, it's like, we got leaderboards, we got documentaries about Osimo and Bales. Like all of that stuff doesn't exist right now.
It doesn't. It's going the wrong direction for sure. The FanDuel's trying, which is strange for FanDuel.
What are they trying?
They're putting out more like rake free contests, 50%, you know, 50% get paid back. They're giving out more tickets. They're trying, especially for them. They were kind of known for like not caring about DFS. So maybe they recognize that they can pick up some of the market cap there. So that's one good thing.
Yeah, that is. I don't even know how to log into my FanDuel account. So I would never know that was even going on, but
even that's a little better. Like I'm not getting all those like, are you human, are you a bot, you know?
Yeah,
still have to get like the password thing, like the two-factor, which is, that's fine. I mean, you have money on there, you probably should have two-factor.
This is a good question. Everyone needs an update. Did I see you post a screenshot of you're now up to like top 15 in Madden?
Top 15, yeah. Wow. I don't know his screen name. So I tweeted it. And I played the Le Goat James. I'm like, I wonder if he calls himself Le Goat James.
My first reaction to that is, oh, there's no way that's his username. And then when you think maybe about the hubris and narcissism of LeBron, I could totally see him naming himself Le Goat James.
Yeah. Because he's probably like, I want to be LeBron James, but obviously someone took that.
Let me pull this up here because I wanted to ask you about something, Brian. You know, I'm not a Madden bro, you know, so I don't know exactly what's going on with some of these stats, but I couldn't help but notice of all these guys in the top, you have one of the lowest audible rates. Do you think if you were audibling a little bit more, you could be top 10?
Maybe they do. A lot of the guys do audible a lot. I find it annoying. I think they do it as like a little glitch, because if you audible from one side to the other and the players follow you, you could tell they're in man coverage. So I think they're just doing that by habit.
Okay.
And then like the guys who play on TV and stuff, or not TV anymore, but the Madden Bowls and stuff like that. I think they do. It's just to fuck with your opponent's defense as he's hot riding around his defenders to defend certain areas. And then you flip to an audible, and then it's all a waste of time.
So let me ask you this, and I feel like you're not going to give me a straight answer, but you're moving up the ranks. Is it just from playing more? Are you out here practicing? Like, I'm not even familiar with Madden, you know, stuff. How are you getting better already at the tippity top? Are you studying? Are you in the lab? What is going on?
Yeah. They actually call it the lab. Labbing. You have a lab partner. You can get somebody to help you lab.
See, I knew you were going to give me a real answer.
No, I'm not even kidding. That's 100% all true. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have a lab partner, no, but I do lab.
Okay. Wow.
So you got to try to find out what works. So the offensive line will have all sorts of different protections, right? That they need assignments on versus various defenses on who's going to block who. And you try to trick the offensive line so that they block the wrong guy and you get someone free, pressure coming in very quickly. And then you have to arrange the defense behind that to match what's, you know, the weak spots. I wouldn't lay with Brian.
Dude, you know what would happen? Brian would be like, LeBron, you and me in the lab together, we could run this shit. We could conquer everything. And LeBron would be like, sorry, man, Bronny's my lab partner. Bronny's like not even ranked top 2000, but he wants to play with his kid. He's meanwhile, like, Brick's over here.
He's like, Bronny's getting paid $5 million a year to be my lab partner.
Did I see Bronny out of basket last night? He finally scored. LeBrick. Now, I don't know if LeBron would like that nickname, but that is great.
I mean, I don't like it.
I think it's good. It's your name. It's like a little wink to a bad basketball shot. I mean, it's perfect.
Why would LeBron use the name of someone he's never heard of?
Because he's going to take you. You're going to take him to the top.
I would love to know if I've beaten him. There's definitely 20-30% chance I have.
Is there still two-player Madden? Like, can you guys like run doubles?
They have that. Yeah, I believe they do have that. I've never played it, but I think I've seen it.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about this Taylor Mathis thing. I like so many stories. I feel like all of the big news revelations have happened like late in the week, right after we've done lulls. But first of all, Brian, where are you up to date with this story? Were you familiar with Taylor and her walking bets pre this crypto scandal?
I have heard of her walking bets. Yes. Not her coin.
You haven't seen them. You've just heard of them.
Just heard of them. I did. I might have watched after this scandal. So just, you know, for research for the show. She's got a lot out there.
She does. Did you see the back and forth that happened in the Lulz Discord? It was last week. So someone came in, and I hadn't seen this username. They're a white username. They say, good morning, all. I am making a video on the Walking Bet scandal, and I'm looking to compile a timeline of posts, replies, etc. If anyone has links/screen grabs, please let me know. And this guy, Spaz, replies, I have plenty of screenshots, just none with text. And the guy, in earnest, just replies, DM'd. Not realizing.
Yeah, it's not going to be those type of pictures. That's the second time we've had like one of those YouTube documentarian guys come in the Discord. We had one before too for Ben the Better, I think.
Oh yeah. Did those ever get made? I feel like I never see those.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think maybe he did. That was a long time ago.
So this girl, she's blowing up on social media, right? She does like a sports betting card each day. The name Walking Bets comes from her filming them while literally walking around. There might be some things bouncing in the foreground that have made these particularly popular, but she's blown up on social, had a deal with DraftKings as, you know, an influencer affiliate deal or whatever, seemed to be really on a trajectory.
What if I told you weight loss is not about willpower, cutting carbs, or working harder in the gym, but instead comes down to flipping a specific switch in your body, one that helps flush out unnecessary calories? Heart surgeon and nutrition expert Dr. Stephen Gundry is revealing a new, simple, but insanely effective way to help get a slim, energized, and healthy body with no deprivation, restrictions, or fads. MCT Wellness can help you flip that switch yourself from the comfort of your own home. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. All you do is add a scoop to water and enjoy. Help unlock your body's potential by going to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Factory to do whatever she wanted, kind of within the sports media space. Once you've built up that kind of audience, you have a ton of leverage. And then someone created a shitcoin in her name. And she ended up getting caught in a, I don't know if I personally would fully call it a pump and dump, but that's what it's been accused as, a pump and dump with her own coin. Granted, she's incredibly new and foreign to crypto, Brian.
Yeah. It was more like a sell and buy, I think, right?
Yes.
So somebody created a coin, you know, this, whoever created it, it's obviously a genius. Told her she could have 2%. If she promos it, and then she eventually sold a bunch. She said like she's getting out or something like that. Sold all of it, deleted all of those tweets, and then bought back in at the lower price.
Yeah. So it says she agreed to promote the crypto in return of 2% of the total supply. That amounted in 20 million tokens. She started posting about it on October 16, and then the price quickly rose. By October 19th, it had a market cap of 6 billion. What a clown economy. That was as high as it would reach. Not too long after it started pulling back, she sold all of her holdings. She exchanged it for about 16K. And I will tell you right now, she was making far, far, far more money from DraftKings than she was 16K from this crypto coin. And then after that, the market cap for Taylor fell below 150,000. And of course, this follows, you know, if you're just looking at it on paper, it looks like a rug pull. I think we have to apply a little bit of nuance to her situation.
Yeah, like if someone makes a coin, a Bitcoin, and then they give you 2%, are you just never allowed to sell it?
Yeah. I guess this is the part that is a little fuzzy to me. Agreed to promote it in return of 2% of the total supply. I mean, according to her, like she didn't even know the difference between like keys and a wallet and just like basic crypto understanding of like where this money was residing, like what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no reason to believe she's lying about that. It doesn't. Why would she know about like the mechanics of this stuff? My guess is there was a mixture of her naivete and then also someone advising her like, whoa, you were just gifted all this stuff. Like you should probably sell some of it and take some profits right now.
I honestly had the same thought, like her boyfriend or something's like, just sell it. Just cash that money out.
Right. Yeah. And it's like all the people who got like rugged are just people like, did anyone think that Taylor coin was the future of monetary supply? Well, like, what are you getting rugged on? The whole thing with these meme stocks is they rocket up and then they fucking bottom out. Like, this is the trajectory it was always going to go on.
It's interesting that like, who would buy that? And I, you know, I joked on Twitter. I said, you know, if someone had beaten Taylor Mathis and Madden 20 years ago, she wouldn't have rug pulled all these simps. but it's probably not simps, honestly. I bet I bet 95% of these guys are crypto degens.
Oh yeah, 100%. I completely agree with you. Like, this isn't, you know, like if it was on what is it, Robinhood or something, like the retail traders with, yes, then you would have had all the simps. They're like, oh, I'll just pull this up right next to my, you know, GME stock or whatever. Yeah. These are momentum trading crypto bros who are just trying to crash and grab. They didn't actually get rug pulled. You played this game.
Right.
Everyone played this game. I feel sorry for no one here.
Oh, I'm sure there's 1% that got rug pulled. They're just like, no, Taylor just gives out great bets. She's just like the best better. It's like, I gotta get her coin.
And it's hard to know too. I mean, she had some like pretty, like she literally had a post where she threatened suicide, which is like thing. Like my, I don't know if she said I'm going to kill myself or if she just said my life is over. It was something along those lines.
Yeah.
I will just flash forward. She's back. She like basically took a little bit of time off, came back and said, I'm not going to let you simps, you know, control the narrative of my career. We're back to doing bets, yada, yada. So it looks like she's fine. But like, it did seem to put her in a legitimately dark place.
Yeah. Well, and she got canned. She lost her DK deal. Yeah. And you never know. They could crack down on her if they wanted to. And she'd probably be fucked.
Honestly. That is, yeah. If legal action was actually taken.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny if like, it depends on who they want to go after, you know, like I'm assuming they're probably not going to put too much of a fuss about this girl unless it blows up. There's definitely some aspect to this. I've told you this phenomenon before, but like, you know, like you have like someone cut you off or an idiot driver, and then you're finally catching up to them and you just want to look in there and see who they are, this moron. And then it's a hot chick and you're like, I'm not mad anymore. God damn it. Has that ever happened to you? Is that just me? I'm like, this fucking idiot. Who's this fucking idiot? What does he look like? God, you're hot. Fuck, you're hot.
When that happens to me, Brian, they're always 85-year-old women. you're living the what is that? The scene from is that National Lampoon's one of the vacation movies, and he gets all pissed off, and then he pulls up alongside of her, and it's like the super hot blonde chick. So yeah, that you're living a movie.
Cindy Crawford or Christie Brinkley. I think like if she just keeps putting up, I'm looking at her feed. She's putting up plenty of content again.
Oh yeah, she's fully back. There was also just, I mean, the whole saga. So she had like her dark moments, bottomed out, then came back with like a long video. It was stitched, and this part just like killed me too, Brian. Like, it was like a 4-minute video, like explaining the whole situation from her perspective. In the first, I don't know why this is so funny to me, but like first 3 minutes of the video, she's like in a sweater, like at her computer desk or whatever. And then there's a hard cut. Like, clearly she didn't like how something was going, was like, I need to finish this, but didn't want to start over. She does a full on costume change. So now the shirt's off, she's in like an athletic top, showing a little bit more there for the fans, and then just picks up the video, like in a completely different location, like tried to pick up the same line of thought, just with 1 minute left, explaining all this stuff. She's like, then I bought it back, which is what it says here. She purchased 34 tokens for 9,000. Then she said she was donating all of the proceeds to a charity. Just a complete clusterfuck of a situation.
Mm. Yeah, the donating to charity, that's a good idea. I wonder if she went out and got some legal advice. Looks like she got, okay, $16,350 minus $9,000. That's how much the legal advice cost, $7,350.
Yes. This is why, Taylor, I could have told her about this as someone who the Top Shot community gifted hundreds and hundreds of Fred Van Vliet Top Shot moments. And I told the people forever, I said, these are going in a vault. They will never be touched. There were moments when Top Shot was pumping that I was like, wow, I have over 5 figures in Fred Van Vliet moments right now that I could cash out. I've never touched them. We're riding them to zero. Mm-hmm. I literally threw away the key. I don't know where it is. So Taylor, I could have given you that lesson. You just let your coin sit there. You just let it sit there.
She actually should just not have touched it, is the real
exactly.
Because if she can never sell it, why even be involved to begin with? Dare I say, she's the victim here, okay? She's the victim. She probably had no clue any of this shit was happening, like how any of this stuff worked. I doubt there was any simps, you know, maybe a few who actually bought this coin. It was like D-Gen bros hatching, crypto bros hatching up a scheme, thinking about some celebrity where they might be able to pump and dump and, you know, make a quick couple hundred K, and she fell for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, what's crazy to me is just, again, like her trajectory as far as her social media following. Let me see how many followers she is up to these days.
It's 200,000, I think. I was just
over 200,000. With that kind of following within, and like I know from, you know, over at Fantasy Life, we've looked at, you know, finding like sports betting influencers and stuff like that, because it's a very powerful driver when you are trying to either do tools or obviously referrals to sites. Like, these types of personalities who have these kind of followings are massive. They're sitting on gold mines as far as how much money they can make. And of all the different ways, like, there's plenty of shady stuff you could do in the sports betting world to get the bag. Like, you don't have to deal with crypto. Like, and that's the thing too, is advised on it. Just like, you know what? We reviewed this, and this $20,000 is not worth sacrificing the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousand dollars I can make in like legitimate sports betting ways.
Yeah, right. Clearly did not think it through. It's like when we talk about the cheaters, you know, in whatever, poker and basketball and stuff. They don't think it through. They go, you know, they think they're like the first one. They're sitting there with their buddy, like, hey, you know, if we collude, why don't we can give each other the other person a better team? It's like, yeah, you realize you're not the only one who's thought of that, and you're gonna get caught and banned and then never be able to play. You know, it's like, I don't think she's you know, it's actually, this whole thing is like just like a example of how fucked up our society is. this girl has 200,000 followers because she has giant tits and walks around talking about shit she doesn't know anything about. And I don't know about, like, she probably can make a lot of money, Pete, too, but I have a feeling it's probably not monetizing it. It's probably a little harder than you think, you know. Like, it's not like she's gotten 200,000 followers for being a productive member, you know, of society, or being able to offer, you know, something to people besides the way she looks.
Well, first of all, two things here. I just want the chat to know I know exactly what I'm doing for where I've left this on the screen, and I stopped scrolling at a very specific thing. I'm more interested about Tyler Conklin over 2.5 receptions in the next time TD. You horn dogs can go to her page on your own time. But like, Brett, like the way some of that like affiliate stuff does in the wider audience she's reaching, even outside of like the fantasy and DFS and traditional sports betting space, I think is so valuable. Like, I would bet DraftKings was paying her a shit ton. I don't know if it was per conversions or if it was just a general exposure deal, but I would bet she was crushing it.
Huh. How much do you think she was getting from DraftKings? Just ball, like, whatever, ballpark.
Yeah, so like, no idea on. But like, my guess is if she did a full year with DraftKings, I bet she would have made $500,000, like over a 12 month span.
that's including everything. Like, if they give her money plus.
Yeah. Like, whatever her, like, I feel like it, that, like, her pull in her reach would have fetched $500,000.
And do you think they get that return?
Yeah.
Back.
If it's first time depositors, for sure. Absolutely. Like, the lifetime value, people act shocked about these. You guys have no idea. The lifetime value of a sports betting customer can be somewhere from $1,000 to $1,500 for just one. The amount of money companies will pay for a single user will shock you.
I grant. I just don't see her converting them.
But depending on like the deal, some of these companies will take a different approach too, from like an exposure, you know, standpoint. Like, I don't know how the DraftKings deal is with Barstool, right? Like, I don't know, are they doing it based on like the branding exposure they're getting via like being on the Barstool properties, or is it strictly on conversions? There's different ways that sausage gets made.
I'd love to see the numbers. I'd love to see like just the numbers and compared to like different accounts and stuff like that. I don't know. I just don't see how, you know, 1% of the 200,000 would like be like, oh yeah, you know what? She gives out good bets. I'm going to sign up for DraftKings. But, I don't know.
Here's the thing. It has nothing to do with good bets. Like, one of the biggest influencers in the sports betting space is that guy. Have you heard of him? Book It by Tran or whatever.
It's not ringing a bell, but go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, let me see if I can, I don't even know.
Yeah. Okay. Did you say Trent?
Yes.
Yeah.
Book It with Trent. Here it goes. Yeah. So this guy has 318. He has a massive following. People tail him. He has a huge deal with Prize Picks. Yeah. This dude makes just amounts of money that would make your head explode. And he's not a good sports bettor. It has nothing to do with being a good sports bettor.
I grant these people exist, like Vegas Dave, right? Famously, we've talked about.
I think Vegas Dave exists in his own stratosphere, separate from these influencers.
I mean, he definitely does. But like, we're trying to find, psychoanalyze these people, these conversions, right? And like, there has to be some overlap between this guy and Vegas Dave, but I don't see it happening with her. Like, the guys who go there are just horn dogs.
Yeah, I think it's. I see what you're saying about the direct conversion thing. I do think from a strict like branding and awareness stuff, the juice is still worth the squeeze for them with some of these stuff, because the whole thing that they're trying to do, right, is they're trying to get into untapped markets. They know every single DFS bro, fantasy bro already knows what DraftKings is, what FanDuel is. Mm. But she is getting access to a level of frat boy, horn doggery, golf bros, whatever it is that are unaware of this.
Yeah.
That I think her reach is maybe bigger than we're giving it credit
for. Now this makes more sense. So like, just an influencer sponsorship makes sense. Just like, forget about it. Like, an influencer sponsorship. Yes. I get it. And this one just so happens to also, for some reason, gives out picks, and that's perfect for your company, because it's actually related. So, okay, that makes sense. You're basically just paying an influencer.
And it's genius from her spot, right? Because think about this. Like, she could have picked any niche. She could have just done like lifestyle vlogger, fashion vlogger, travel vlogger. There's all kinds of people like her who do that in various niches. But there's so much more money to be made in sports betting, because it is such a massive, like, think about if she got a deal, I don't even know, with like a travel company or a clothing company or whatever. Like, the upside for her in sports betting, because of how much money there is, because of how valuable new customers are, like, it's probably 100x compared to whatever other industry she tried to grow her brand in.
Yeah, I imagine that was pure luck. She didn't, yes, probably didn't think that probably far ahead.
Yeah.
She was probably just, she actually probably likes betting too, you know, like, whatever. I mean,
sure.
Yeah. So, you know, it's better than you saw the Tim Walz thing where he says, you know, AOC runs a mean pick six. It's like, clearly he didn't write that, right? That's got to be an intern. You don't run a pick six. I don't know that much ball, but like, I imagine she actually probably cares, or to like made some bets and just started posting them. And it went from there.
They want me to go back to Taylor's page, Brian, so I'm giving them a photo of Book It with Trent.
This is what I'm saying. These are not overlapping conversions in these two groups. Homeboy wants to go back to the girl.
But that's a feature, not a bug, right? Like, they don't want,
right,
you know, these are different Prize Picks, DraftKings, whatever. But there, he has a very specific demo he's cultivated, people who do want to ape into every bet. She's reaching a different.
They want both. Right. I guess they'd want both of these people. Yeah.
I think they are, they want anybody and everyone who's not an extractor, right? Like, anyone who could potentially get the bug. And tell me there aren't group chats out there with the bros being like, we're Oppo trading Taylor's, you know, bets today, you know, stuff like that, where we're tailing one and sweating it together because we think it's funny. Like, I'm sure that shit is happening.
I'm surprised she's not actually getting more threats and hate and stuff, because she kind of was one of the symbols of that kind of, What is that do-gooder betting group? The Seville guys, yeah. Right? Like, oh, they have these girls give the hot girls giving out bad bets. You know, hot girls, they all hate the hot girls giving out bad bet stuff. Where I think you agree with me, it's like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, especially just like people giving out free bets is like, who gives a shit? You know, you're an idiot if you take it. Yeah. Or you take it or you fade it. Or you do it for fun. Who cares? You know, not everyone's trying to squeak out every little bit of EV possible. And she was kind of the face of that. And I haven't heard a ton of people really clamoring on her. Like after the initial wave, it was really more more crypto people going after, you know, cause it's bad for the business, bad for the image of crypto.
Right. But it's also like, I mean, crypto is just another day at the office. They've weathered so many of those pump and dump videos. It's like, they don't give a shit.
No, they would only care if it got big and like went to Congress and then made everything look bad.
Before we shut this down, you had flagged this yesterday. I thought it was pretty interesting here. Maybe we could just watch this clip real quick. This was
looks fake, doesn't it?
It did. Like, well, this guy with the all caps and
redacted the all caps.
I think I'm going to have to go to Chrome share to play this audio. One sec here. All right. So this was from Captain Jack. It looks like an unabated daily show he was doing, and there was an interesting nugget here. So I'll play the clip.
Caesar situation is not good. And it, you know, it's not like it's an unabated issue. Everyone's facing the same issue. If they're not facing this issue, they've probably cut a secret deal with Caesars where they promised them that they won't fake their market. Did I just slip into an impersonation there? I don't know. They won't fake them, and they'll give them the straight scoop of when they fake everybody else, they'll tell Caesars the real line. They cut that deal with a lot of different operators. So they're starting to edge everybody out because they strike exclusive deals with operators. Caesars doesn't want to sell us the feed. Even if they did, it would be a number that would be astronomical. So it's not looking good for Caesars. So if you're not limited by Caesars already, you might want to look into what's the best way to approach this with them not on the unabated screen. I think you will be limited by Caesars soon. They seem to be cracking down extra hard right now. Maybe it's because of their new source for odd screens that they have. You know, the guy that's always doing things for the better, but yet is probably the single most destructive force of top-down betting. So anyway, won't get too far into that one.
Wow. Most destructive force of top-down betting. What was your thoughts when you saw this?
Oh, well, first of all, I like Captain Jack.
Oh yeah.
He might not like you. He might not like me. That's what I was going to say. I don't think he enjoyed his appearance on the show, which is a bummer because I like him and I always defend him too, you know, like the, but, I like how he'll, you know, he's not afraid to say, you know, say something. No. So, appreciate that about him. I think people are saying that they're using Spanky's odd screen. Is that the, cause there's only two ways by he can mean that is they're using his, odd screen that hurts all of us because they get better info, or mainly just being a top down better, he's affecting lines and hurting all everybody else because he's getting there first.
Yeah, I guess I read it as like Spanky was getting special like access to Caesar's stuff because he's made a swap with them as far as we're not going to pump fake you with our betting groups and like throw you off. And we'll keep you in the loop in exchange for information of like what we actually think the line should be, what we think we should be doing. And in exchange for that, he's getting some special Caesars access that everyone else would be astronomical or untenable to pay for.
Okay. But then that wouldn't really be the most destructive to bet.
Right. That part at the end threw me a little bit.
Yeah. That's why I think just the top down betting aspect of it, of he's, he is recognizing when Rufus and Bob Vulgaris, et cetera, those groups whoever moves a line, he then moves at the other sites. And then, so then we're all kind of screwed, right? Because by the time we get there and the retail markets come on, they've copied Bet Online and we're getting it at minus 120 when we could have been getting it at minus 110.
Just front running everything, basically.
That's my guess. Or or he's selling them info, and for some reason that doesn't seem right. What does it say in the tweet again? What does this guy accuse him of?
Yeah, let me go back to Mr. All Caps here. Where did I go? Here we go. Redacted gambler, unabated streamer, lobs explosive accusation at Spanky, accused him of using resources to help his biz gain competitive advantage against other businesses, calls him the most destructive force of top-down betting, says he doesn't care about helping bettors.
Okay, I don't think he accused him of that specifically.
There was a follow-up screenshot. Someone asked, how were the lines being manipulated? Were sharp bettors placing their bets at square books before going to sharp book to move the line? It's a subset of sharp bettors. This is Captain Jack responding, that manipulate the market. It's tough to detect unless you know which books they manipulate. Last year was Circa and Caesars. Makes it so much tougher on top-down bettors. We'll talk about it more in premium live streams. I'm not a fan of it, but so far I don't have an effective way to fight it.
Not yet, anyway.
Dun, dun, dun.
So yeah, that's what I was talking about, I think.
Yeah.
So he's he knows which markets the sharp bettors are manipulating before everyone else. And so therefore then guys like Captain Jack can't get their money down or can't get as good a price as they otherwise would have.
Yeah. Interesting. I mean, there's hardly anything shocking though about a sports betting whale, a major mover in the space, whether through relationships or just how much handle he provides to a site getting special favors or access, right? Like that part isn't shocking.
Yeah. It's so the whole situation's so strange, right? Like I mean, I've made a lot of arguments. I think people would think like defending gambling, but I'm really not even necessarily defending gambling morally. Like I'm more just saying compared to other issues we have in society, they have all this undue burden and regulation and stuff. Well, there's also other bad things going on that they don't do anything nearly as well. You can make the argument that gambling's just bad in general, but like the whole thing's so weird, where. Regular guys get the shittiest lines. If you do well, they'll ban you. But the books have to fight Spanky too. From their perspective, they don't want to have some guy who's got 100 different accounts on their fucking site, max betting. And then we do pay for that, the average bettor does end up paying for it, or DFA. It probably hurts DFS too, because there's not enough money going around for promotions and stuff. Yeah. I'm not saying he shouldn't be able to bet or anything, but it is a strange dynamic, the sports betting world, because, in any other business, I think that wouldn't be your average person wouldn't think that'd be acceptable. If a business goes you can only use one coupon here or something, no one would be like, oh yeah, you could use 1,000 coupons. Fuck them. So it's so strange. Just the whole, I've said this a million times, but the whole sports betting ecosystem and world and everything is not very fun.
That was just the word I was going to use. Like none of this is fun. To me, when we talk about salary cap games or we're looking at combo ownership for battle royale stuff and we're trying to solve a game and we're playing against our peers, that's fucking fun. I have fun with that. When I listen to this stuff and I'm trying to think, oh, this line at minus 110 and 120 and these shadowy movers are doing that, I'm like, this is just not right. Fun. I understand people who make a living doing it. By all means, there's lots of, interesting ways to make a living. But from my perspective, this is not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also something different, like that, like the modernity of it is strange. Like, I get back in the day, you know, like, you know, you get kicked out of Vegas casinos, you can't bet. It's like, I got to put a beard on to go play blackjack. And it's just me and three other guys, you know, it's like, I get that all was like super entertaining. And I love reading the books about it and stuff. But nowadays it's like, yeah, I built this, you know, this algorithm that works on thousands of computers across the globe, extracting X percent from this many sports books instantaneously. There's almost nothing they can do. And it's a kit. It's like, I don't know. It's not the same anymore. You know, it's the same as it was in the 70s or 80s or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's not to say like they should ban guys just because they, you know, they get it in kind of good, you know, either, but
yeah. Yeah, there's a charm to the hustle when it's a little more old-timey.
Yeah. Like, it's like, I, you know, when they kicked Kenny Austin out and stuff, and then he would put on an act and put beards on and stuff. It's like, I don't know. I think that's fine. I don't think there's a problem with that. But then if he could scale that up somehow with technology and do it, you know, which he probably would have, you know, 100,000 times, then that's probably a little much. You know, that's still like – leaving aside whether, you know, it's moral or not in general, for forgetting about that for a second, you know, like, it is a business and you're, you know, they have, what is that called? Did you ever work in retail? Like, when I worked in retail after high school and we had to watch this video on stealing, and there's like a loss leader, there's a term for it. But anyways, they like know a certain percent of their inventory is going to be stolen.
Slippage or whatever
the term is. It's basically like that. Like, they know that X percent is going to be taken from these groups and there's nothing they can do.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if there's any more to that story. I would say we could reach
what
out.
What if it's Taylor? If it's Taylor's the one he was talking about? She's got the big, you know, she's got the top down and edge that's taking advantage of all of
us. It all comes full circle. I got to get Reddit here. Brian, anything you guys got going on at In-Game Syndicate this week? Have you done the sim stream yet?
We did the sim stream on Endgame and Ann Davis's channel yesterday, if you want to check that out. We'll have some updates with the draft caddy coming soon, like three-player combo and more NBA stuff. What is happening? Oh, the active drafts table, the active drafts, so you can multi-table. That should be out like today or tomorrow. So like you can use the draft caddy on the active drafts tab. And
one thing I wanted to mention, Brian, that I noticed is I think because there's now two spots where there's the link to download the caddy on the In-Game Syndicate and the Brick 75 site. I think the link on the Brick site is an older version.
Oh, is it? Then,
yeah, because I downloaded it and I was like, oh, this isn't any different. I think it was like 2.51, and then the one on In-Game was like 2.513 or the version 3. So just a note, if you want the most updated one right now, grab it at In-Game.
Yeah, I'll put it on Brick right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. As for me, we got the Shipcast tonight. Texans, Jets. We have Dan Hansis. A lot of you guys know him from formerly around the NFL. He now has a podcast with Underdog. He is a self-loathing Jets fan, really fun NFL personality. So excited to have him on the show. We'll have the pick-ems out later this afternoon. And then I got all my regular DFS shows tomorrow, Block Party with JM, Off and On the Clock with the Badge Bros. And then I will have the Deposit Kingdom Sleepers video out in the afternoon. Brian, you got a long night ahead of you battling LeBron.
Yep. That's can be tough. Someone's got to do it, Pete. You know.
All right. Appreciate you guys all hanging out in the chat. Enjoy the rest of your afternoons over on Taylor's Twitter page. We will see you guys next time on LOL.